The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Saint Kateri did not follow the others out of the village to camp during the winter months. When they engaged in the hunt, she remained behind, where she lived only on Indian corn. However, not content with allowing her body only this insipid food, which could scarcely sustain it, she subjected it also to austerities and excessive penances without taking counsel of anyone, persuading herself that while the object was self-mortification, she was right in giving herself up to everything which could increase her fervor. She was incited to these holy exercises by the noble examples of self-mortification which she had always before her eyes. The spirit of penance reigned among the Christians at the missions. Fastings, disciplines carried even unto blood, belts with points of iron, were common austerities. These voluntary penances allowed them to prepare themselves to suffer the most fearful torments if captured by pagan Indians. One in particular among them, Etuin, signalized this with his constancy and faith amidst torture. When surrounded by the burning flames, he did not cease to encourage his wife, who was suffering the same torture, to invoke with him the holy name of Jesus. Being on the point of expiring, he rallied all his strength, and in imitation of his master, prayed the Lord with a loud voice for the conversion of those who had treated him with such cruelty. Many of the Indians, touched by a spectacle so new to them, abandoned their country and came to the mission to ask for baptism and to live there in accordance with the laws of the gospel. It was also not uncommon to fast sometimes for days. Some placed themselves in the snow when the cold was most severe. Others stripped themselves to the waist in retired places and remained a long time exposed to the rigor of the season, on the banks of a frozen river, and where the wind blew with violence. There were even those who broke the ice in the ponds, plunged themselves in up to the neck, and remained there as long as it was necessary for them to recite many times the 10 beads of their rosary. One of them did this 3 nights in succession, and it was the cause of so violent a fever that it was thought she would have died of it. When the extremes came to the knowledge of the priests, they were obliged to moderate the Indian's zeal. Although those who inflicted these mortifications on themselves were particular to conceal them from the knowledge of the public, Saint Kateri did not fail to figure out from the various appearances what they held so secret. As she studied every means to show her love for Jesus Christ, she applied herself to examining everything done that was pleasing to the Lord, that she might herself immediately put it into practice. After hearing from her companion, Marie Therese, about her use of wooden switches, she resolved to make it a daily practice for herself when the other Indians were away on the hunting chase. She also had as much time as she could wish for to satisfy her devotion at the village chapel. Saint Kateri knew but 2 paths while she lived at the mission, one leading from her cabin to the field where she worked, and the other to the chapel where she prayed. Anyone who chanced to stray into the chapel might see a muffled figure kneeling near the altar rail, facing the tabernacle. At such times she saw and heard nothing of what was taking place around her. In front of her was the sacred presence she could not leave unless for some urgent call of duty or charity. A touch on the shoulder, a whispered word, and she would be happy to assist all. Often she did not wait for this. A sudden inspiration would carry her where she was needed. When the good deed was done, the love within her heart drew her again to the foot of the tabernacle. When she entered the church, in taking the blessed water, she recalled her baptism and renewed the resolution she had taken to live as a good Christian. When she knelt down in some corner near the balustrade for fear of being distracted by those who passed in and out, she would cover her face with her blanket and make an act of faith concerning the real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. She also made several other interior acts of contrition, of resignation, or of humility, according to the inspiration which moved her. Asking for light and strength to practice virtue well, she prayed for unbelievers also, above all her Iroquois relatives. She finished her devotion by praying her rosary. She confided this exercise to her companion, who made it known. She had regulated the visits which she made to our Lord to 5 times a day without fail, but it can be said that the church was the place where she was ordinarily found. She remained there so many hours on her knees in the coldest winter weather that more than once priests or someone else, moved with compassion at the sight of her half-frozen condition, obliged her to leave the chapel. Saint Kateri had a great and special devotion both for the Passion of our Savior and the Holy Eucharist. These two mysteries of the love of the same God, concealed under the veil of the Eucharist and His dying on the cross, ceaselessly occupied her spirit and kindled in her heart the purest flames of love. One Saturday afternoon, while waiting for the bell to ring for benediction, Saint Kateri sat in the cabin of her friend, talking confidently with her friend on matters of conscience. Marie Therese happened to mention the bundle of switches with which she had scourged herself on a certain occasion, and Saint Kateri, quick to put a pious thought into practice, hastened at once to the cemetery and returned with a handful of stinging little rods. These she hid adroitly under the mat on which she was sitting, and waited eagerly for the first stroke of the bell. As the other Indians hurried along to church, the two were soon alone. Saint Kateri was the first to fall upon her knees, and handing her companion the switches, begged her not to spare her in the least. When she had been well scourged, she in turn took the switches, and Therese knelt down to receive the blows. With bleeding shoulders, they said a short prayer together, and then hastened to the chapel, joyous and happy at heart. Never before had the prayer seemed shorter or sweeter to them than on that evening. Their next thought was to choose a place where they might continue this exercise. They kept up this practice every Saturday. They made an act of contrition, an act of faith, and then Saint Kateri would kneel to receive the first scourging, begging her companion to strike harder, even though blood would appear by the third stroke. When they came to a pause, they recited the chaplet of the Holy Family, which they divided into several parts, at each of which a stroke was given with the switches. But towards the end of the exercise, their devotion knew no bounds. At these times, she would speak of the 3 nails which fashioned our Savior to the cross as a figure of her sins. When Saint Kateri was thus touched, she did not fail to move her companion, who, with equal fervor, underwent the same voluntary punishment. Her greatest excesses of self-inflicted pain came like sparks of fire from her intense love of the crucified Redeemer. She had seen the Iroquois warriors brand their slaves with coals of fire, so she could not resist the impulse which came to her one night to seize a red-hot brand from the hearth fire and to place it between her toes. It would be a long and harrowing task to give a full account of all the austere fasts and penances that Saint Kateri Tekakwitha underwent during the course of the year in 1679, but we can truly say that she filled up those things that were wanting of the sufferings of Christ in her flesh, for his body, which is the church.